Welcome to a Monday morning. Fastest 2 hours in radio. My name is Stakey's Drew Butler. You know what to expect when you get the 1-2 punch on a Monday right after it, after a busy weekend, and all the sports come together and collide over these few weeks of Braves opening their season. We'll talk about that lackluster effort. We had our regional in town here. We actually got the Hawks getting ready for the playoffs, got the Masters coming up, got college baseball front and center. Like, there is a lot to get to. The NFL draft, Kirk Cousins floating around Cleveland. So I promise you, next 2 hours, you will be thoroughly entertained. How are you?
I'm great, man. Happy Monday. Spring break for my kiddos, so we're fired up. We're heading to California tomorrow to go visit some friends, so we're going to be in San Diego. But weekend was great. Got a little golf in. My daughter Bridget did her first ever golf match, which was awesome. I got the caddy, which was a blast.
How old is she?
She'll be 7 in May. She did great, man. It was a lot of fun. Obviously watched the hoops as well. Watched a bunch of golf.
So
it was awesome, man. And now we're here.
So spring break in Cali, huh?
Yeah, so my close friend who grew up here in Atlanta, him and his wife have two kids, so we are going out to San Diego.
So you're going to San Diego Zoo? You're going to travel to L.A. at all?
Not going to go to L.A. They live right in Pacific Beach, so we'll be walking around the ocean, hanging out.
Kids will be hanging.
It'd be awesome. Daddies might sneak out for a little bit of golf.
I was going to say, how'd you shoot over the weekend?
Played pretty well. We played Friday afternoon, which was great. The weather was perfect. The pollen was insane on Friday. That was the day that broke all the records. You saw it on social media. Blew away the all-time record for pollen count in the air. There were some holes on Friday. When the wind was blowing, it looked like there was a fire outside. It was absolutely insane.
What does
insane.
That mean? It looked like a fire.
Haze. Clouds of haze going through
which
the air.
The pollen.
And it was just the pollen.
You know, do you have any issues with pollen?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got to load up on the Zyrtec, put the sunglasses on, can't touch the eyes.
I have a couple of
wash the hands a bunch of times.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, like they say that we take our health for granted all the time. Think about, I'm one of those guys, I wouldn't know if the pollen count was 100
really?
Or zero. I have zero, and I have a buddy of mine I work with who literally had to be locked in his house that had a headache.
Yeah.
The headaches, right, that you get.
Mine's more like in the throat and nose. Like you just feel like there's something going on.
There were people suffering.
It was horrible.
There were people suffering.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Exciting weekend here in Atlanta. I'm going to just – there's so many stories to get to. If you had to say what jumped out of you more than anything else over the weekend, or what did you pay the most attention to over the course of the weekend?
College hoops, for sure. Friday, the atmosphere for that first game, specifically inside State Farm, I thought it was jumping through the TV. It looked electric in there.
That was the
Michigan State-Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was up. Michigan State came storming back. And then, my buddy went down there, and I'm texting him, like, is this second game ever going to start? I think it tipped off just after 10 p.m. Even Chuck and Kenny and Ernie, they were having to fill time, and they were making fun of on air how long it was taking for this second game to tip off.
I will tell you that the crowd for that Auburn game yesterday was exploding.
Sounded like a football game.
Unbelievable.
When Jani Broome came back in, he hit that three. It sounded like Auburn making a fourth quarter comeback in a football game.
When they made their 17-0 run. Now, I'd love to hear, we'll even put you on the first segment, War Eagle fans, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. You've been to home games at your building at Auburn, which is one of the better college basketball atmospheres. How did State Farm Arena compare? Because from what I understand, that's such an incredible basketball arena.
Mm-hmm.
I had kid stuff and soccer and all this, so I wasn't at the games. But from what I understand, if you're an Auburn, I don't know how it gets any better. If you're an Auburn fan,
right,
to have that happen.
Short drive.
Yeah, I mean,
familiar,
to be in
creature
that
comforts.
Building, you get a Friday night game, and then you turn around to get a Sunday game, and you're home by like 8 o'clock last night or whatever it is, because it's the 5 o'clock window,
yeah,
which was not affected by a game right before it. So I'd love to hear from an Auburn fan to tell me, how did that compare to being at an Auburn home game, and was it like an Auburn home game? I was watching a lot of Braves baseball. I kind of could not believe how anemic it was. I mean, I just, you know, that was just a miserable way. We'll talk deeper about, you know, what does it really mean? Like, if it was game 61-65, would anybody care?
No, you're not even talking about it.
The only reason you would talk about it is you don't see four-game losing streaks by the Braves too often.
Here's what I will say, because we're going to dive into this a little bit more. Watching the Braves over the weekend, I feel like it kind of goes back to what we were saying during spring training. There was just not a lot of hype around this team during spring training, obviously dealing with some key injuries with your best A-list players. Hey, they'll get healthy. Hey, they'll be there. Hey, we're the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, you're just
watching
kinda...
over the weekend. They're just lacking a little bit of juice.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah, and we're just assuming that everybody goes back to close to their 2023 numbers.
Yes.
As if you just pencil that in. You know, the back of the baseball card don't lie, but when guys haven't been around that long, like we learned that Sean Murphy can't hit because, you know, he had one good year 2 years ago, and then he's back to what he was before we got him. Like, you know, I know Albies has hit his whole career, and Olsen certainly hit 50 bombs, and Austin Riley is capable of hitting. But I don't know. Ozuna could be on a slide the other way.
Yeah.
Maybe Ozzie's numbers are affected by not having Acuna in the lineup. Jerkson Profar, maybe a change of scenery initially is going to be an issue. Like, it was just – it was a disaster is the only way to put it. So I was looking at that. It was worth paying attention to the Hawks last night because Zachary Risacher had a night. So let's wrap it all in a nice little bow. Let's do our 9 at 9. Four number one seeds. When I see somebody with a bracket with four number ones, I give him the Steak Shapiro lecture. I think he did a day-day last year, maybe this year even. Like, bro, you really think four number ones are going? You think it's that simple? Well, when you have four ones this dominant, what's the stat you have? It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, just saw this before we hopped on air. KenPom, which is an analytics platform that's been around since 1996, 1997. Four of the best 10 teams since 1996, 1997 in the KenPom era are in this year's Final Four.
So I don't pretend to know exactly what the KenPom...
Offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, all that stuff.
It's basically doing everything well.
Correct.
How good defensively? How big are you winning games by total score?
What is your what's your schedule like? Who are you playing against? All that stuff
the
wrapped
resume,
into it.
The resume of these four teams are four of the greatest resumes to ever be in the Final Four, and now they're all there at the same
Correct.
Time. So think about that. If one of them was there, you'd say, that's one of the top 10 teams that's ever been to a Final Four. And then you'd say, there's two of those teams. All four of them are top 10 in history. As a great debate class is, you don't know what side you're going to argue. You could have me argue on behalf of any of those four teams, and I could convince you, you know, obviously the favorite is Duke, Florida, Houston, Auburn. That's
yes,
the order.
Duke is the second ranked out of this KenPom ranking. So again, four of the best 10 KenPom teams of all time are in this year's Final Four. It's the second time ever that all four one seeds have made the Final Four. Last time was 2008.
Yeah, Padres beat the Braves again. It was a miserable effort Sunday night. Starters were fine pretty much all weekend. A.J. Smith-Shawver, 6 hits and 2 runs, not terrible. 5-0, scoreless now for 22. They haven't scored a run since what? Late on Friday. Didn't score Saturday. They didn't score Sunday. Now they
get us the torpedo bats.
Yeah. Yankees taking care of their own business. We'll talk about the torpedo bats a little bit later. How about Georgia baseball over the weekend?
Georgia baseball on an absolute heater. They swept number 11 Auburn over the weekend. The Dogs are currently ranked third in the country. They're 28-2 overall stake, 8-1 in the SEC. And I believe during the 10 o'clock hour, the new rankings will come out. Rumors are saying the Dogs could be the top-ranked baseball team in the country.
Atlanta United over the weekend, they beat NYCFC 4-3. They were down 3-1. You talk about a fun atmosphere.
Looked awesome. These goals were sick. Latte Loth comes back, gets the equalizer, or I believe the go-ahead goal, 4-3. Atlanta United wins. They needed it in a big way.
Hawks on the road, scores 145 points. Zachary Risacher, a 36-point effort. This kid making a strong push for Rookie of the Year. We know the best defensive player in the league, Dyson Daniels. He set a franchise single-season record with his 213th steal.
That is insane. 213 steals by Dyson Daniel on the season. Incredible. Love to see Reese Shea getting rolling as the Hawks have clinched now a postseason appearance, at least in the playoff game. They cannot finish any worse than 10th.
Yeah, we had Quinn Snyder on Friday, and he made two cases. Dyson Daniels is Defensive Player of the Year. He's got a blocks steals number that is the highest since Michael Jordan 25 years ago. And obviously, Zachary Risacher making a strong push for Rookie of the Year. Playoffs are going to be fun. The future looks even more fun down the line. And Kirk Cousins hanging out in Cleveland. God bless him.
Interesting.
Man.
Interesting
Kirk
development.
Cousins posting his Cleveland stuff as well. Also looks like, I would say Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in Pittsburgh at
this
point, right?
Yeah, again, on the rumor mill, they're saying that more than likely Aaron Rodgers, who is, you know, very close with Pat McAfee. McAfee has a live, sold-out show in Pittsburgh in PPG Paints Arena. I believe it's April 9th stake. Speculation is that Aaron Rodgers will be there. He will announce in front of the Pittsburgh faithful that he's going to be a Steeler.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin trying to talk up. Who is he talking up?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. That's funny. That was funny. He's saying we feel good about our quarterback situation. When we come back, does a four-game losing streak mean anything about the next 158? I think it kind of does. You're not going to want to hear it, Braves fans. I'm Steak. He's Drew. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 92.9.
That one goes off of the pitcher. Third base is unoccupied. They throw behind Ozuna, and they get the double play. What a play by the Padres. Ozuna saw third base open.
Things aren't going your way. The ball goes towards Machado. He makes a great play on this. And Luis Arraez yesterday made a great throw. The second does it again.
.924, that, I don't know, it's a microcosm of the weekend. I mean, it was just
uninteresting.
I mean, it was a listless weekend, and it was bad luck every time you turned around. The only luck we had was bad.
The most exciting thing was watching A.J. Smith-Shawver get out of that jam last night in the second inning. You're like, oh, okay, like that was cool.
I really did think that was a big moment.
Yeah.
And that we would propel us. If you're gambling, I would say this. And I didn't go down that road, but there was a lot of reason to say, well, after Thursday and Friday, I got to like them on Saturday
night. Of course.
They're going to start scoring runs.
And if not Saturday night, well, then definitely on Sunday
night. And then, of course, that I put in my buddy's text thread, you know, my idiot, so I went away.
Of course you did, just like I did to you on Saturday.
Yeah, I was like, take the Braves tonight. They're going to score a lot of runs. Like, the law of averages. You know, by the way, they were in Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Did they score, Bo, like 12 runs against the Cubs, like right before? It wasn't like we were in a lull, but that we played our lineup both games, I think, right?
Yeah.
And we were mashing the ball.
Look, there's also the possibility, and I was just discussing this with Data. There is a possibility. Now, we need to be able to hit good pitching, but the Padres do have great pitching. This is not an excuse, but the bats will wake up, hopefully sooner than later, and
who
they
their,
will be fine.
Nick Pivetta's their fourth starter last night.
Yeah, damn. Who got ran out of Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you got the Dodgers. Dodgers haven't lost. We haven't won. Dodgers are 5-0. We're 0-4. Like, listen, it is the definition of a long season. If this was a losing streak in June, nobody would be freaking out. Although, you know, when the Braves had their special seasons, I don't know a few years ago if they ever lost four in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're out four right out of the gate, you know?
And now you're going to play the best team in baseball, which, to your question, is a four-game losing streak. Yes, it's at the start of the season. Is it even worth discussing in the realm of a 162-game season?
That's a great, like, that's
to where that I say, I don't know. But a seven-game losing streak to start the season definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, any time of the year, if you're laboring at the manner you are, and again, seasons take on their own personality, right?
Yeah, last year it was injuries for the Braves, you know, always fighting uphill.
Right.
Fighting. You know, they were just always on the outside looking in. It seemed like, of course, they still won the division last year, which was remarkable.
Yeah, it's kind of like Georgia winning the SEC this year.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did that happen with all the numbers surrounding them, right? So, you know, listen, Marcell Ozuna in the middle of the order obviously is the key to everything. This is a guy that carried them for months, especially when Acuna goes down. Michael Harris has had a horrendous start to the year. Michael Harris, you know, he has to show who you are. Like, we don't know exactly what he is as a hitter.
Yes.
Garcia, obviously, the bottom of the order hurts you. Kelnick is anemic normally at the bottom of the order as well. So if Michael Harris isn't hitting, and then you go Orlando Arcina, and then you go Kelnick, you know, that's not a great bottom part of the order, obviously.
Yeah, I'll correct myself as well. Last year, the Braves got the wild card. They did not win the division. That was 2 years ago when they won the division. But first-round exits in both postseasons, so not exactly what you want.
Yeah, and I think having to play the Dodgers, I mean, I guess no time like the present. You just don't want to limp home, certainly at 0-8.
I mean, that would be a disaster by every stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're behind the eight ball. It's a super long season, but, you know, it's frustrating to get your fans hyped and to start your season that way. There's no question about it. And, you know, I think everybody was paying attention all weekend long. You kept checking in, and you're waiting for the, you know, to use the baseball term, put some crooked runs up there, and it did not happen. So let me just see what the numbers are tonight. The Braves are plus one. I've never seen this. Never seen this in all the years I looked at numbers. The Atlanta Braves are plus 194. That's one of the best lineups in baseball. I just want to give you some idea. That's when the White Sox are playing like Atlanta, 194.
Yes.
They're getting 2-1 odds tonight to beat the Dodgers, right? I've never seen an Atlanta Braves team get plus 194. Who's throwing for the Dodgers? Obviously, that has to be some part of it. So, Grant Holmes still going for the Braves, I believe. So,
Tyler Glasnow.
Okay. Against Grant Holmes?
Yes.
The Dodgers, you got to lay 218 to make $100. They are more than double favorites. That tells you how people perceive the Dodgers. That's not so much about an 0-4 start. That's about how good the Dodgers are on a regular
basis.
That's
correct.
And they also think that Grant Holmes is literally like a, you know, nobody knows who that is, including Vegas. And they're like, why is that guy starting in a big game in L.A.? So,
well, you bring up Vegas as well. Like, the question is, should Braves fans be worried? I mean, if you were to ask a bookmaker in Las Vegas, what do you think about the Atlanta Braves 0-4 start? They'd probably say, I don't really think about it at all.
No,
it's a long, long season ahead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you had over on win totals, you don't want to start with 0-4. There's 158 games left in the year. What'd you think of the Yankee bat situation? Explain that over the weekend, as the Yankees just were mashing. What, they have 8 homers on Saturday? Is that right?
Yeah, these torpedo bats are making all of the rage across social media and in baseball conversations. So what happened is, this goes back to, I believe, a year ago. It's not a new thing, but a front office member of the New York Yankees on their analytics team, who I believe has an MIT degree, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, had done some research, and they were looking at, you guys remind me which player it was.
Volpe.
Yeah, where Volpe was making the majority of his contact on the bats. And Stake, it was down closer towards the handle.
Yeah.
It was not in the thicker part of the barrel.
Yeah, where there's no power to be generated from that part of the bat.
So the analytics team said, if this is where you consistently make contact, what if we moved the larger part of the barrel down to where you make contact? And in the parameters of Major League Baseball rules, the bat has to be a certain weight, a certain length, and has to be a solid piece of wood. They were able to manipulate the shape of the bat to now look more like a bowling pin, which gets the term torpedo. And you're seeing these Yankees players using it, and obviously it's working very well. I don't know if it's a placebo effect. I don't know if it's actually making a difference as to where they're hitting the ball on the bat bow, but sounds like the Braves might be getting involved in some torpedo bat
Braves
action.
Have actually placed an order for some of these bats, and the guys that it's going to help in the game are your pure contact hitters, your inside-out hitters. If you can remember how Derek Jeter swung a baseball bat,
yes.
We are taught to hit the ball from inside out. You're always looking at the inside part of the ball, which a lot of pitchers that pitch inside, like Max Fried, the right-handed batters, that's why you have so many sawed-off bats, so many bats shattering. Well, now you put the fat part of the bat down there closer to your hands, and now all of a sudden those inside-out swings are going to drift a little farther for those contact hitters. Now, your power guys, like, it's not going to help, like an Olsen who gets full extension. It's like Aaron Judge doesn't use the torpedo bat. He wants the barrel of the bat out over the plate, which is what a traditional bat does. So we'll see. I can see a bat like this possibly helping, like a Freddie Freeman, put more balls out of the ballpark because he's an inside-out hitter.
You mentioned what? Day-Day?
Yeah, so one Brave already familiar is Drake Baldwin. He apparently used to use the bat prior to being called up, so he's already a little familiar with the bat.
So there's that conversation over the weekend of the Yankees just pounding the Brewers at home.
9 home runs, a team record. Traveled a combined 3,695 feet on Saturday. That is hammering the baseball.
Yeah, first 3 pitches of the game on Saturday are out. So a lot of fun at Yankee Stadium. Not a lot of fun for the Braves. San Diego's a real good baseball team, too. I mean, they can pitch. They got the reigning batting title. They got
Tatis.
You can't get him out. Manny Machado. I mean, they're loaded. That's all that matters in that town. I mean, they are a baseball
town.
That's
right.
They are crazy.
Petco Park is sick, too. That's what a great ballpark. I saw the Rolling Stones there in 2015.
Gaslight District is about as cool as it gets.
Absolutely.
So, and they're not going back out there, man. Padres will be back here sometime this summer. But that's such a weird scheduling kind of quirk. Your maybe toughest, not maybe, your toughest 7-game road trip of the entire year is right out of the gate. There'll be no tougher road trip than playing 4 at San Diego and 3 in L.A., and it's your first 7 games of the year. But, you know, we have a veteran ball club. So you're for other ones, like, yeah, we got a couple of, you know, rookie guys.
Right.
We got a couple of new acquisitions.
We got a lot of guys with rings on their fingers in that clubhouse.
Well, yeah, the point is you don't need time to adjust.
Of course.
Like, you assume you roll the baseballs out. Other than Jerks and Profar, I mean, we all know these guys.
Let's go play.
And nothing happens over the weekend. We shall see. When we come back, the Final Four, I have an absolute pick of the two games.
Oh.
I have an absolute pick.
Is it better than the pick I sent you on Saturday?
Yeah, I hope it works out better than that. I hope it does. We'll explain. Also, if you're a Georgia fan, times are good, man, in one sport. Times are really good. Maybe not so much in hoops right now with some news coming out about that. Also, the NFL draft, all kinds of good stuff as it relates to Georgia players. Sports Radio 92.9. It's 9:39 on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, the Auburn Tigers, we'll talk about them coming up. It was taking over the ATL, man. And I'm just curious in general, man, there was an Atlanta United game. There was this volleyball. I think there's like
Big South.
I've been at the Big South, and my daughter played in it for 3 years. 200 games at once going on at one point, like 200 courts. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Is that at the Congress Center?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
It's the wildest infrastructure. Kudos to all the guys that put that together. So there were people from all over America here with their girls. And then you had, of course, the regional, the South Sweet 16, all going on downtown all over Atlanta. I'm just curious, you know, if anybody was down throughout the weekend. I asked earlier. You don't have to call us. I am curious if an Auburn fan was in the building, what they thought of the atmosphere, how much fun it was. Now you're headed to San Antonio. I've been there 2 or 3 times for Final Fours. It's a tremendous Final Four town. They love the NCAA, love San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. What is that trek like for Auburn fans? Is it drive to Birmingham and hop a Southwest flight from Birmingham to San Antonio? I have no idea. You don't drive to San Antonio, do you?
I don't know.
Sounds like a pretty long jaunt
and
there.
And think about Gator fans. How many Florida fans are listening to us as well?
Yeah.
They get that opportunity. Houston and Kelvin Sampson finally trying to, with all the great players they've had and all the great teams from Elvin Hames and Hakeem Olajuwon and all the Houston teams and the one a few years ago, they've never won a national title.
How about Jim Nantz being in the in the arena, excuse me, Houston alum, was on the golf team there. I didn't He's listen last Houston week guy. When you were on with probably Sandra or Rusty when Jim Nantz announced that he will be retiring from the Masters in 11 years.
I didn't hear that.
Did you not see that?
No, is that a joke?
No, he came out, and this is after, who's the famous broadcaster that just said he's retiring?
Gary Danielson.
Yes, Daniel. I mean, this is the same day, Steak.
Is
Gary Danielson. No. Gary Danielson says, this is going to be my last year on CBS.
Yeah, with
Jim
Brad
Nantz
Nassim.
Comes out and announces, literally the same day, hey, the 2036 Masters is going to be my last.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you
So he's got an 11-year retirement tour coming up starting in a week and a half.
Well, I will say that the Masters broadcast with Jim Nantz and everybody around it is spectacular.
Yes, of course.
But that's a little heavy. He's a huge golfer, obviously, Jim Nantz.
I believe he was roommates with Fred Couples at Houston.
So he was very fired up on social media, as fired up as he's going to get them in the mix as well. And just in general, one of those weekends in Atlanta where just everything was going on. They also had that Brookhaven Cherry Blossom Festival, like 10,000 people.
Yeah, Gavin DeGraw and OAR. I'm a huge OAR guy.
My sister-in-law, Kate, was all about OAR. They had a great lineup. Free, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of free festivals and everything else going on as well. And then Braves will be back in town on Friday. But right now, it's find a way to get a double. You have to do it against the Dodgers.
All right, so the Final Four is set. Things will tip off Saturday in San Antonio. As we mentioned at the top of the show, the four teams are the four number one seeds, just the second time it has ever happened. The first time since 2008, Steak, that Final Four was also in San Antonio. So top ranked.
Who was
Duke,
in that one? Do you have it?
KU. Memphis.
KU-Memphis?
Yes, that's the Derrick Rose
final,
game, Mario Chalmers shot.
That was the Calipari-Bill Self game, yep.
Yes, and then the other two were...
UNC and who else?
UNC and...
Bueller.
Pulling it up.
I actually was not at that Final Four.
Pulling it up.
But that was the big Final Four where John Calipari doesn't foul and the game goes to overtime and then you end up losing in overtime Memphis to get their title.
Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome Final Four. And as we also mentioned, these four teams are ranked by KenPom as four of the best 10 ever. According to the KenPom statistics, they've been keeping those stats since 1996. So you're going to have...
So UCLA was a one seed back then, too, by the way.
Gotcha.
Which you haven't seen. So it was UCLA, Carolina, Kansas, and Memphis. Yeah, go ahead.
These four teams are four of the top 10 best KenPom teams of all time, which is fascinating. You're going to have great, great matchups. I believe Duke is a 4.5-point favorite, and Florida is a 2.5-point favorite heading into Saturday's action.
Yeah, we had my middle schooler... Bobby had his first dance ever over the weekend, and these parents hosted us for a party while that game was while the dance was going on. You know, there's always a family that brings everybody over there. Well, there must have been 25 of us around the TV watching Florida and Texas Tech on Saturday night.
Great game.
I can't imagine. You would talk about jealousy. I've talked about it before. Not having gone to an SEC school, not having gone somewhere where every Saturday, your Saturdays for 40 or 50 years
are planned around that team,
but
that
now,
game.
Yeah, yes. But now to have Florida basketball win the two games they did, they're down by 9 with 3 minutes left in the game. They go on a 10-0 run, and Walter Clayton Jr., not only will never buy a meal or a cocktail in Gainesville ever again, he's turning into one of the biggest NCAA heroes of all time.
Yeah, he was like a huge four-star football recruit as well. Ended up playing hoops at Florida, obviously making a huge impact. I do have one more statistic, and then I want to get to a cut from Bruce Pearl over the weekend. This comes from Cole Kubelik, SEC Network, jocks in Birmingham, an Auburn grad. He tweets this out. It goes to what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks in regards to the tournament, the lack of upsets, how NIL is creating a bigger divide. Since 1939, just two players ever played in the Final Four with multiple teams, Steak. There are three players playing in the Final Four for their second team this year. Think about that. Since 1939, only two players had ever made the Final Four
twice
with multiple teams.
Yeah.
And this year, there are three players alone playing in their second Final Four with a different team.
Yeah, completely different atmosphere. We should mention real quick, did you cover Christian Anderson when he was over there at Lovett?
At
Lovett, right?
Yeah.
He's the kid that was going to go to Michigan, and then Juwan Howard gets fired. He goes to Texas Tech. He was open for a three at the end of that game. I don't know if you saw him. He only had a couple of points, but he averaged 10 points a game this year. He ended up at Oak Hill Academy after leaving Lovett.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's a true freshman at Texas Tech. Starts, had a really good year. Who knows if he'll stick around. Like, that's the other thing. Like, you think these guys are locked in because they went to the tournament with these teams? That means absolutely nothing. Obviously, Silas Demery announced at Georgia he's in the portal / NBA as well. And a lot of these teams are about to experience that if they weren't exactly happy with how things played out or coach changes hands. Were you surprised to hear that the Maryland coach is leaving to go to Villanova?
I guess I'm not that surprised, but those rumors were picking up as Maryland was still in the tournament. Of note, athletic director Damon Evans also left as well. He's not at Maryland anymore. He is the new AD.
Yeah, Damon Evans, a former Georgia guy. Kevin Willard leaves Maryland, says, I did not get the support I needed at that school.
Jeez.
He is leaving a Big Ten power conference to go to Villanova. There hasn't been anything since Jay Wright left. An enormous indictment on Damon Evans, I guess, and the support or lack of support for the basketball program, and he's going to a lesser league. Kind of shocking as well, and Damon Evans going where the money is.
Yeah.
The money's in Texas at SMU.
No question. They got a lot of it down at SMU. Probably the biggest moment of the Elite Eight action was right here in Atlanta. Auburn, top-ranked team. Jahni Broome, one of the favorites to win Player of the Year. He goes down in the second half, has to leave the game, but he comes back. Here is when he made a three-pointer upon returning.
Well, here's Bruce Pearl, and then we'll hear the
gotcha.
Cut.
It was the real three moment. Line out was the real three moment. But then he comes out there, he bangs the three ball, and the whole place. You know where we're going, Tracy?
We're going to the final.
To the Final Four!
Yeah!
Excuse me, so Coach Pearl fired up there. Here is the three-pointer that he was alluding to, the one that Jahni Broome knocked down upon returning from injury.
Baseline off the deflection. Keep it moving for Kelly. Back for Broome. A miracle in Atlanta. Oh.
Absolutely love Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery as well. They are tremendous on the call.
Jahni Broome goes for 25. He's 10 of 13 from the floor. He had a double-double in the first half alone. I think he was something like 19 or 20 and 12 in the first half. Spectacular performance. Only matched by Duke and Cooper Flagg.
I mean, Alabama could not make a shot, to be fair. They were chucking up logo threes like they were mid-range jumpers. After the barrage that happened in the Sweet 16 game, you obviously knew that there was going to be a little bit of a regression. I didn't think it'd be that bad.
Well, they had the greatest shooting day in college basketball history. They hit 25 threes.
Yeah, insane.
So probably the over-under was inflated on that next game because everybody wanted to bet on the over. I told you I like the under in that game. Only I didn't think Duke could D'em up like that, and I didn't think Alabama would be that bad. Here's what I think watching. I've watched Florida and Auburn every game and every minute of the tournament. I think the Gators are just a better team than Auburn. I mean,
that's fair.
You know, I think Florida's had their scare. I think it's a bad matchup for Auburn. I think if those two teams played 10 times, Gators would win 6 or 7. It's a little bitty spread. The Florida Gators are going to play in the national championship. Auburn is not going to win that game at the Final Four. Too much size, too much depth. Walter Clayton Jr., if Jahni Broome isn't healthy, they'll win by 10 or more.
Wow.
But Florida is the pick. And Duke Houston, don't go to sleep on Houston, but this Duke team is put together to win a national
title. Yeah, they really are. And Houston's defense has been tremendous. I believe they're a top-ranked team in defensive efficiency. But when you're going up against Cooper Flagg and that Duke offense, to your point, too much talent, too much depth, That should be a great game. When the Final Four is over, yes, we're going to turn our attention to the Masters, but then next up is the NFL Draft happening at the end of the month. ESPN's mock draft analyst Matt Miller did a 7-round mock draft over the weekend, Stake. He has 14 Georgia Bulldogs being drafted across all 7 rounds. That would be one shy of the NFL draft record, a Georgia record as well, of 15 dogs being drafted in 2022. Of note, Jalen Walker goes 8th to the Panthers. Malachi Starks goes 19th to the Bucks. So those are two NFC South teams. Mykel Williams goes 31st to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kirby Smart recruiting pitch becomes really, really simple when you're putting in 10-plus players into the NFL draft year after year.
Yeah, and obviously for Kirby, it's a message you send home of we prepare you for the National Football League. You're going to be coached hard. We're not going to, play favorites in this program. We run it a certain way, and come April, you'll see what the results are. So speaking of the results, you know, Josh Brooks, your buddy, has always said, we need to compete for championships
right. In
every sport. They're not doing it in basketball. They're not even really close. If you look at the gap between the way they left, losing to Gonzaga and the Auburns and Floridas and Alabamas, well, in baseball, the time is now. Just second year now for Wes Johnson.
Correct.
And they are not playing around.
No, they're not playing around at all. Georgia baseball sweeps 11th-ranked Auburn over the weekend. What a name for the star of Georgia baseball team so far this year, Dan Jackson. So Georgia's now had two great Dan Jacksons, one on the football team, of course, who is projected to get drafted, and then Daniel Jackson on the baseball team hammering home runs. They swept 11th-ranked Auburn over the weekend. The Dogs are the third-ranked team in the country. They're 28-2 overall, Stake. They're 8-1 in the SEC, and I believe in the next hour, the new national baseball rankings are coming out, and rumors are swirling that Georgia could be the top-ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, anticipate that if you're a Dog fan, they'll probably host a regional and a super regional because that's what happens when you're ranked as high as they are. It's another example of athletics in the state of Georgia where we look back and go, and Auburn understands this because they go get their basketball players from Atlanta. We should be competing with just kids in our state in every sport for national titles.
Yep.
And that's exactly in baseball what they're putting together. It's a great atmosphere. You been to any games there in Athens?
Not so far this season, but I have in the past.
General.
Yes, of course. Great atmosphere. And they've invested a lot into the infrastructure of Foley Field. Yes.
Like, give me an example of what's going on
there. New stand-up seating across the third baseline. They've also put some structures out into right field, which is where Kudzu Hill is. And probably most importantly, now you can buy a cold beer at Georgia Athletics events, which is a great addition to your game day experience when you're talking about enjoying a great spring day.
That's the tailgate on Sports Radio 92.9. I was chastising the baby Sophie. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Go to some baseball games.
Yeah. Why not?
Go to some softball games. You're walking distance like everybody. You can go watch the highest level of athletes, right? These are the best at their sports. These are great baseball players that will be playing Major League Baseball. Highest level of softball, everything else. I mean, just to be in Athens and to have all that kind of greatness surrounding you.
You know, I bring up the opportunity to purchase a cold beverage and just sit back and enjoy a beautiful spring day. I need to get these statistics because I saw them unofficially. How many cold beers Georgia sells during a football game inside Sanford Stadium comparatively added to how many less incidents with local authorities inside the stadium happened this past year. Net-net, it was a great, great decision for Georgia to say, let's make it happen.
So the Bible thumpers, pardon the expression, that said never serve alcohol at a sporting event.
Yeah.
It's only going to cause problems. I hope I didn't offend anybody by saying that, but I'd say the same thing about gambling.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's get over it.
100%.
Let's get over it.
It's 2025.
Why on social media, I don't think I've been this disgusted and irritated. I almost want to say outraged against somebody that you'd never believe is now my number one sports villain. He is now number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is.
Wow.
Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10 o'clock. The fastest 2 hours in radio continues. My name is Steak. Coming up, Kirk Cousins gallivanting. Is that a good word for it? Around Cleveland, or what's going on with that? We'll get to what just irritated me to no end. Just irritated me to absolutely no end over the weekend. And I'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. And you may be surprised with who my target is as my number one villain in sports.
LeBron James?
No, not him.
Aaron Judge?
No, Aaron Judge is fine. I mean, he's a Yankee. But it was a rough weekend, though, for the Braves, for sure.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. I would have said there's a better chance we go 4-0 out of the gate. We're healthy-ish. We got our guys coming back, but we had a pretty good spring spraying it around. Exciting to get, you know, Drake Baldwin in the mix and get Ozzie back out there with Austin and Olsen and, you know, Marcelo Zuna.
Yeah.
And Turks and Profar and said, yeah, we'll probably mash it around pretty good. Padres will be in trouble. What the hell was that over four games?
You know, for me, it's through four games, first four games of the season. And again, going back to spring training and trying to get invested into the Atlanta Braves before the regular season action starts. Right now, I just don't have the warm and fuzzies when I turn on the television and the Atlanta Braves are on. I was fortunate enough to go to a Friday night game last year at Truist Park, Braves-Dodgers. I think Max Fried was on the mound. Shohei Ohtani in the batter's box. Like, it was awesome. You're there, and you're sitting there going, this is phenomenal baseball. I want to watch this right now.
Yeah,
and going back to spring training, I just don't have the excitement of locking in, sitting on my couch, and watching the Braves rake. One, because they're not doing that. And two, I don't know, Steak. It just feels different.
Well,
is that bad of me on sports radio to say, I don't know, it just feels different? That's where I'm at right now.
I don't know why it feels different.
But would you
I
agree that it does feel different?
Well, after 4 days, we didn't score any runs. Of course, it felt that way. It didn't feel different to me on Thursday. It felt like the start of another exciting season. Now, again, it's very unique in that we're coming back with essentially the same players, the same key guys. Like, there's not off-season acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the juice of seeing a face you hadn't seen. There's not somebody out in front of the rotation that you went out and spent big money on.
True.
These are the same guys we're used to. So, you know, Matt Olson, when he replaced Freddie Freeman a few years ago, there was some juice there, obviously. When Albies and Acuna were coming up, there was some juice there. When Austin Riley started to assert himself at that position, even Sean Murphy in that offseason comes over. So these are all the same guys. And Marcelo Zuna was the guy that carried us last year. There is a notion that how fired up do you get about a designated hitter, who, by the way, was in the middle of a lot of nothingness over the weekend. But each season plays out in its own manner.
So our juice for the Braves this season is going to be when Acuna and Strider come back from injury.
For sure that will happen. How, you know, our young players perform. Granted, we don't play as many as other teams do, but I think you just have to let the season start to play itself out.
And I'm not sitting here saying the season is over. Again, 0-4 start, whatever. 0-7 start, that could be an issue. And then I think it becomes even more of a national headline.
I think they may win tonight. You know, Dodgers are 5-0. I'd bet them tonight. They're getting 190-something coming back. I've never heard of a lineup like the Braves getting double odds. Would you agree, Bo? I mean, I don't hate them tonight. What do you think?
Is that not just Las Vegas saying the Braves are due?
Like,
certainly you can't win 5-0, right, to open the season. Like, that's...
Listen, I told my No. What Vegas is saying is they're not winning tonight because they're double. I've never seen the Braves get double odds back. You bet 100, you win 200 on the Braves tonight. So that's never. I've never seen them this big an underdog. But that's because of Grant Holmes going. But my point is, you put a crooked number up first couple innings. The way starters don't work deep into games, it's going to be, you know, a lot of bullpen guys anyway. So. You've got to break out of your doldrums early.
Got to.
You've got to break out of it early.
You have to.
You got to get on their starter. You can't get into a situation where Grant Holmes, these pitching duels that we've been on the wrong end of, right? A.J. Smith-Shawver hung in there last night, did what he had to do. Schwellenbach did the same. Ronaldo Lopez, been nothing wrong with our starting pitching at all. It's the bullpen, and then it's just been the bats. I mean, bullpen on Thursday, Friday, then the bats just did absolutely nothing. They haven't scored in 22 innings. 22
Jeez.
Innings to start your year, you're 0-4. Over the weekend, I saw the most ridiculous on 328, post that.
And what is 328?
Well, 328 was an opportunity for the little trollop, I'll say. That's not a very aggressive term.
No.
For a young lady that's going out with somebody who is 50-something years older and wearing an Atlanta Falcons World Championship T-shirt. So this was Bill Belichick's girlfriend trying to troll the Falcons. She looks like she's in a dorm room. I mean, it's a hotel.
What is that?
I think it's a really, it looks like a Hampton Inn. I'm not even kidding.
Yes.
Look at the photo. Bill Belichick standing in like a Hampton Inn room with Jordan, his girlfriend. She's wearing a Falcons World Champion T-shirt, and she's like, to those who celebrate 28-3, she's smiling with a coffee. Belichick is standing next to her. This is their opportunity to troll the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend. That was up on social media. Bill Belichick and his girlfriend take shots at the Falcons on 328. She's wearing a Super Bowl 51 T-shirt. My response to that was, there is not a bigger creep on the there is not a bigger creep on the planet than Bill Belichick. As for his girlfriend, you know what you are. I can't root hard enough against North Carolina next year.
Okay, so I asked you the question pre-show because we were discussing the photo and how bizarre the picture is. I mean, it's totally bizarre. And I said, is this just her having him absolutely under her thumb? Hey, we're going to do this. Hey, I'm going to put this T-shirt on, Falcons World Champs. We'll send out the tweet. It might go viral. Hee hee ha ha. To which you said, why on earth would this girl ever care about what the Atlanta Falcons did or didn't do in 2016?
Yeah, she wouldn't know anything. Matter of fact, in 2016, she's 20. Is she 23 or 22?
That's irrelevant.
No, she would have been like 10 years
old.
Okay, whatever.
Yes.
Listen, Bill Belichick, she feels like she is going to stick up for her man.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a way to... listen,
so
I'm lucky enough that I'm a member of the Metro Atlanta board.
Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce, Metro Chamber, where Katie Kirkpatrick, who is the president of that, was in studio. Chris Womack's been on here. Ed Bastian from Delta, they're on that board. I'm like... I'm like the entertainment on that group. These are impressive people. I'm like the court jester. But I watch the way men of significance, CEOs, leaders of the police foundation, presidents of universities, presidents of hospitals, Rich McKay, acclaimed, like guys who have accomplished stuff, okay? And I know Rich McKay is, you know, somewhat dicey with folks worrying about the Falcons. But I'm saying these are men that have accomplished things, okay? And
yes,
there's a way that they carry themselves that suggests class, that suggests a manner of respectability. Bill Belichick is such a friggin' clown. Bill Belichick he's got all the worst. He's petty. He's a narcissist. He's angry. He's a clown. His personal life, people are laughing at you. You want to date a girl 50 years younger? Okay. The way you parade it on social media and the way that you look and she looks, it looks ridiculous.
So I want to ask you a question. The way this picture came about is Bill Belichick, who now has a clear vendetta against the Atlanta Falcons because they didn't hire him a year ago. Bill Belichick has these shirts that a buddy sent him because they're funny. He's probably got boxes of them at his house. Atlanta Falcons world champions. He tells his 50-plus year younger girlfriend, put this shirt on.
No,
we're going to go take pictures.
She's friends with enough people in their circle, and she knows it's 28-3 day, and she puts that shirt on to taunt the Falcons, and he stands next to her.
And she was also wearing it walking around
In New Orleans.
Super Bowl.
It's the same shirt. Like, there's a manner of class and elegance to handle winning and losing and all those things. Are you such are you that absorbed with the Falcons that you're wasting time posting, like carrying on about something that's like was 10 years ago. Like, why do you want to keep taunting the fact that it's just not what winners do. I know you've won a lot, but winners also get hired. You didn't get hired. Winners also win without their best player. You've never won without Tom Brady. You've never done anything without Tom Brady. And Tom Brady literally never references anything about
it. I was just about to say that. You just brought it up. I was going to say, you talked about all these accomplished guys in the world of business or in the world of sports.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is one of those guys. I mean, he never mentions it. Obviously, a quick
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean.
So there was an article written in the Boston Globe about Super Bowl week in New Orleans was such an example of the divide.
Yes.
The divide between how Tom Brady is perceived around the NFL, who that week kept talking about Pat Mahomes and how wonderful it was, even though they kept going, he could be considered the GOAT. And Brady's like, you know what? He's a great young player. I'm excited. Like, come on, Brady's got 7 Super Bowls. He didn't have to kowtow to anything, but he did. He was a class act. And then they said, look at Bill Belichick parading around town with
a
girl
on earth,
50 years his junior. And they taunted him for the Falcon thing. Like, are you really at a point that that matters to you? It wasn't like in Boston, they're like, go Bill, at least from the writer's standpoint.
Right.
It's like, what's wrong with you? Like, is this, you have nothing. Everything you said about how to handle yourself, you're doing the opposite now. Just making yourself a story.
Give me a record prediction for North Carolina
I hope North Carolina.
2-10?
No, they're not going to go 2-10. But if they go, Bill Belichick will leave there in 2 years having pissed off everybody around Chapel Hill in terms of who runs that, with his arrogance and his ego, and that you have to report. You heard this story. Every coach has to CC her on emails.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, there's a whole thing in the building. People got wind of it where it says, please make sure Jordan is copied on this stuff as she's helping to handle a lot of the details for day-to-day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Not to mention Mike Florio's wife, who had to move to Chapel Hill to babysit her, was part of it as well. It's a joke. He's a clown. Okay, you won that Super Bowl. Good for you. I don't hear Tom Brady or David Andrews or anybody else ever talk about it. You keep talking. Guess what? You're in Chapel Hill, Raheem's in Atlanta, Vrabel's in New England, and you can't get hired in the NFL. You can't get hired. So wear your little T-shirt with your little girlfriend at a Hampton or whatever that is. I friggin' hate Bill Belichick.
Oh, man.
Hate him. I hope Clemson puts 70 on you. We'll come back. Things I learned over the weekend. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9. Thanks so much for being with us. Couple of things floating around. If you're driving around the great city of Atlanta, great weekend for Auburn fans. And Michigan State for a while. They just didn't play well last night. 17-0 run by Auburn blew them out of the building, and they just couldn't get it under 8. Chipped away. Although, do you know where that number landed at? Was it 5.5? I think they covered by a little bit, but, I mean, they never had it to 6 the last, I don't know, 30 minutes of the game, and somehow got it to 6 at the end on a fluke 3-pointer. Congratulations to Auburn, Houston, Duke, and Florida. I think it's a Duke-Florida national title heavyweight matchup of the highest level. I mean, I think, Houston will not get the juice if they beat Duke that you get in a Duke-Florida final, but Houston's incredible, team that Kelvin Sampson helped build, which is really impressive. A couple of other things worth mentioning, man. Zachary Risacher last night in Milwaukee. It's funny. I was talking to somebody downstairs. I was like, you have to understand something. I know that, who was lamenting it? Rusty? I got to set Rusty straight because he's just talking about Paolo Banchero and Zion Williamson. And next year it's Cooper. He's like, oh, man, why'd the Hawks end up with the number one that year?
Yeah.
Bro.
I hear him saying that.
I know.
Negative Rusty.
Yeah. he's not trying to be negative. He's trying to be like the emotion. We didn't – you know how many number ones flame out or you got the wrong guy or you go up and you go, wow, we could have had – like, dude, I don't know that he's not the best player in that draft.
Yeah.
I mean, he may not win Rookie of the Year. He's the best player in that draft. And Alexander Sarr was an overtime elite kid that decided he was going to break up with Atlanta before we broke up with him. Zachary Risacher right now can shoot the three. Think how good he's going to be from out there. He's 19. He is athletic. He is a hard worker. He's got a great mentality. Dude, we got it right with him. Dyson Daniels last night breaks a record for Hawks and steals. You got Jalen. You got Trey. You got Okafor. Get another piece or two. I'm telling you, next few years are going to be fun. Last night,
Reece Sachet, 36 points, man. That's awesome. Especially at this time of the season. You get 30-plus from Reece Sachet in the play-in games, and they get through.
Dude, let me just say something. They're rookies.
Get ready.
They're rookies that never see north of 30 their rookie season or 36, and he's just been awesome. So that's a really good thing. Are you I know you're going on vacation in San Diego, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
All right. So
we're going to be outside, no pollen, beach breeze.
Oh, I know you get away from the pollen.
Yeah, it should be awesome.
That's probably one of the things I learned over the weekend is, well, should we just do it? Let's just do it. Things I learned over the weekend. One of them is that pollen's bad for a lot of people.
Ooh.
I'm not one of them. I have zero allergies, zero effect. And people are like, why do we care what you have? Especially if you don't have it. Like, stop. Don't self-aggrandize yourself, steak. I apologize. My only point is, I don't know what it's like.
Eyes itch, throat feels scratchy. You know, you can't clear the nose out. It's just feels like you're choking.
I had a buddy who's got the worst headaches from all that as well. So we learned that it never been higher than Friday, right?
Jeez,
highest
almighty.
Of all time.
It was brutal.
Highest
it really was brutal.
Count. We also learned that Rusty was had an MVP camp over the weekend where, you know, Day Day's son was there.
Yeah.
I saw Day Day's son's post. What did he get? An award?
Well, not an award per se. They had a select group of kids that they called the best of the best, and they kind of grouped them together to compete against each other. So he was selected as one of the best DBs.
How proud were you? Were you there the whole time?
No, I actually missed it. I actually walked up as they were wrapping up because we had a birthday party.
How big a deal is that whole camp for kids?
I mean, when they're run like Rusty's camp is run, you know, and it's not a money grab thing because there's a lot of stuff out there that's money grabs. So the way Rusty runs this stuff is big deal. There was a school bus of kids from Washington County that came to
that's
be a
awesome.
Part of it.
That's awesome.
I also learned, you know, that the last thing I want to do is not elevate the restaurant industry, okay? And I never call out if something, well, I shouldn't say never because I'm about to.
Very seldom.
I'm just going to tell you, and Bo knows this, that is a tough industry right now, man. People ask me to open a restaurant or be, you know, attached to ones. I'm like, dude, I had experience last night.
Uh-oh.
My favorite Chinese restaurant, Canton Cooks, basically the owners are gone. So I needed,
oh, it's changed ownership.
Yes, and it's not the same.
Oh,
so
no.
I needed a Chinese, and I go, I'm going to go generic American Chinese and go to P.F. Chang's. And I rolled into a P.F. Chang's last night at 7:45 p.m.
Oh.
At Perimeter. When I can tell you, I am not that guy. I got a Braves game. I'm relaxed. I'm chilling out.
Now, is your way to go tell the fam, I'm going to pick up food, sit at the bar, one, maybe two, order the food, head home?
No. I mean,
that's a pro move.
I'm just getting a Coke Zero at the bar.
Of course.
I'm ordering food. Dude, when I tell you, 44 minutes in, I was like, there's no bartender here.
Oh, no.
It's not even there. It's like she disappeared. Then they're like, yeah, they're fighting in the back of the restaurant with the chef or something. No one in the place. It was one of the most depressing. It was one of the most depressing experiences. I remember the old P.F. Chang's, like Ashford Dunwoody. There was a buzz. There was energy. It was dark. This was... Trying to fill, they had no, I said, what's going on? We don't have enough employees.
Of course.
We had a lot of call-in orders. That's why your food's not here. What does that have to do with me? Your call-in order? I'm standing right here. So now you're telling me that you got too many call-ins. I can't get you your food.
It's a Sunday night. we got to have expectations for large volume of call-in orders.
I feel for anybody
of course.
Trying to hire in that business. This was a steaky persona, like it's out, it's over. Yeah, I mean,
look what they've done to my boy.
I know. How about sitting in a bar? You don't see a bartender for 21
Unacceptable.
Minutes. 21 minutes, and then you see her, she's like bussing tables on this side. So, P.F. Chang's, that's a niche. bad night for you. I'll tell you, I also had a bad night. If you didn't hear the story, really tragic turn of events. I guess it's Young Scooter passes over the weekend.
Yeah, Young Scooter, if you're not familiar, he had a song called Columbia that got picked up and a lot of remixes were done over it. But yeah, apparently dealing with law enforcement, was trying to get away, hopped over a fence and sustained an injury to his leg that later caused him to pass away from those injuries.
That's unbelievable. Very clear, the police, these are not injuries that the police are responsible for.
Correct.
He was fleeing a house, climbing over fences.
Yeah, it says the 39-year-old apparently injured his leg after jumping two fences while running from a southeast Atlanta home. Police said late Friday, autopsy expected to be conducted over the weekend.
Can you imagine with a I hate to be graphic, but the puncture wound or whatever that was.
It must have hit his, you know, whatever the main artery is.
Something.
I mean, that's tragic.
Gosh darn, man.
Yeah.
Bad situation in a bad place. So thoughts and prayers out to him and that family. A lot of folks know him in town as well. And what else did we learn over the weekend? White Lotus continues to dominate Sunday night conversations. Another epic episode. If you haven't watched Mike White and what's going on in that series.
I watched, Jackie and I were watching last night, and Michelle Monaghan, the three girls on the girls' trip, right? And Leslie Bibb. I looked at Jackie when they were fighting at dinner, and I said, these three women are playing this to perfection.
So good.
It makes you uncomfortable watching
what
it.
What did she say about
it? She goes, you're totally right.
Did she see that women could be that way? And
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Walton Goggins, so good. But my favorite is Patrick Schwarzenegger. I think he is playing that.
He's dominating.
Saxon is hilarious.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's son had the greatest episode last night. His acting chops, phenomenal show.
It's
I know, so good. I hate to be so inside baseball, but I'm a White Lotus freak. Also, big show out now, Seth Rogen called The Studio. That's a hot show.
Oh, I haven't seen that
you
yet.
You haven't seen The Pit, the story about Pittsburgh Emergency Room Hospital, getting phenomenal reviews.
What about Adolescence?
Yeah, watch it.
I have not seen it. I don't really want
to.
It's
not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of
fun. Jackie will not be into that one.
No, I'm shocked Sandra watched it.
You know what? I got one more thing for you. These NFL owners meetings are going on down in Palm Beach at the Breakers.
When we come back.
A couple of ways to break this down. Your experience at the P.F. Chang's bar last night, I can guarantee you that's not the situation at the Breakers with those owners down there.
The richest kings of the world all getting together. Wait to hear who's speaking at the NFL meetings this week. These are the bigwigs. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:41 on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Steak and Drew Butler, the Queen Inn, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then next week, we get ready for our Masters Calcutta.
Hey, now.
Get our listeners involved. Who did Sandra just blow doors last year?
Yeah, she just smoked everybody.
I think I won it 2 years ago. There's supposed to be a Masters dinner, which we still haven't done, which a listener was going to get to come with us because they get to pick which of our four teams, you, me,
Rusty.
Let's
go to P.F. Chang's.
I just was blown away that the and the chain restaurant business, like it's hard hiring folks. I've never seen
it
anything
is hard,
like,
man. I know. Dude, it's like depressing.
I was in an empty restaurant with no bartender and nobody working, and I was just like, oh my God. Like I have a 5-tiered system for dining. Have I talked about this before?
No, I'd love to hear this. Is five like chops?
No. These are the five elements how I grade a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
The people are like, has to have great food. That's only one of the five.
Gotcha.
They have to have a great bar.
Key.
Right? So, like, somewhere me and my wife can sit. Like, lighting is absolutely key. I hate when it's too bright. I hate when it's too dark.
Mm-hmm.
The service and just the energy.
Yeah.
So, like, a restaurant bar with the right lighting, with a good buzz, great service, delicious food.
Yep.
I don't care if you're a hamburger joint up the street or if you're fine dining. Just execute on that. You know, I talked about Longhorn, and people were like, I think Longhorn has done a phenomenal job for years. I like their bar. I like their menu. I like just the energy. Walking into a Longhorn, it's got a good buzz going on.
I'll give you a great one off the top of my head. You know, kind of in the same vein, like Frontera. Frontera Mexican Grills around the city. Those are awesome.
Because
great bar, great service, great energy.
First of all, they do a great job with their bars and their margaritas. There's kids running around.
Yes.
Makes it fun. There's folks on a date. There's just an energy.
Yeah.
You meet your wife there after work at 6:45 p.m. and the kids, it's just like, this is what a restaurant's supposed to do. Like, just everybody's having fun, having a drink, good buzz, good energy. It doesn't have to be fancy.
No.
But when I'm in an empty restaurant, and then there's nobody there, and the people there don't want to be there, and they're just like, I say, you got to get somebody for me, man. Like, I got to get home. I got to watch White Lotus. I got first-class problems, like, you know.
These are champagne problems, man.
And I'm watching the Braves, that Vacacta double play. What was that, Bo? That double play that happened right in front of, like, what was it?
Ozuna sees third base unoccupied, makes up his mind that he kind of wants to go for third, changes his mind when the ball goes right to Manny Machado. He's too far off second base, gets doubled up. Kind of the way the first four games of the season have gone.
Yeah. What was the most frustrating night for you of the four?
Was it the 1-0 game?
The 1-0 game was insane, right? All right, you want to do our big game tonight brought to you by John Foy? I think, is Drew responsible for this, you said? What's the game we're doing? You guys put that together.
It's got to be the Braves.
Yeah, it's got to be the Braves. Big game of the night presented by John Foy. Atlanta Braves at Los Angeles Dodgers. 10-10 first pitch. It's a late one. Braves are 0-4, plus 194 on the money line. Steak loves the Braves tonight. Got to get off the schneid. For the Braves.
Hold on.
Time for the Braves to get in the win column.
Are you going to put $100 on them? $50 on them? Paying double? That lineup? Winless on the year, getting 2-1 odds.
$100, 2-1 odds, a little extra jingle in my pocket as I head out west. That could be a good play tonight.
They get casinos in San Diego, by the way?
I believe they do. You know, you mentioned the empty P.F. Chang's last night. We don't want to keep talking about that. But what was not empty over the weekend was Truist Park. The Savannah Bananas were in town.
Oh, my God.
It was completely packed.
Great point.
Dads and boys and kids were all out at the ballpark having a blast with the entertainment product that is the Savannah Bananas.
You see Charlie Culberson? Listen, we have unbelievable. I'm just saying this. We're not driven by phone calls. It would be nice every so often. You're at the Auburn game at State Farm Arena. Yeah. What was the energy? Savannah Bananas game. Totally sold out for day. You went?
Yeah, I was there.
Why didn't you tell us this?
I went Sunday, yeah.
I blame you, dude. Come on. When you go to that, you got to let us know.
How was it?
So it was great. If you've never been, the game itself is a lot of fun. I would actually like to play the game under these rules.
Cool.
You know, and they involve the crowd a lot. If a fan catches a foul ball, it's ruled an out.
Oh, nice.
They play music the entire time.
They do the dances.
Sing-along songs.
Sweet.
So the whole crowd is basically singing most of these songs.
How long is the game?
The game itself is 2 hours long. They put it on a clock. They do a lot of stuff leading up to the game. There's a lot of pregame stuff.
Yeah.
Is it hard to keep you interested for 2 hours? Because you're not really rooting for anybody, right?
So the Bananas and the Party Animals are the ones that play 80% of the time. There's a team in Texas for when they visit out there.
Cool.
There's another team. There's four total teams. But both teams play under the rules. Like last night or yesterday, the Party Animals actually beat the Bananas. It's really weird where they play for like an inning score, like it's match play in golf.
Yeah.
So whoever wins the inning gets a point, and then the very last inning that they play, all the runs count.
But do you have rooting interest? Is everyone rooting for the Savannah Bananas?
I was rooting for the Party Animals. I have a Party Animal jersey.
Nice.
I thought Party Animals were a lot cooler than Bananas.
Yeah. So.
Did they have Culberson last night, or was that
There was no guest hitter yesterday at the Bananas game, though.
Have you ever seen the videos of the owner and founder of the Savannah Bananas, Jesse Cole, talking about fans first, and that's his entire motto.
Think about the research they did just to fill 2 hours and what they learned. Sing-along music, stunts.
It's cool.
Bringing in
they keep track
heroes.
of trick plays, like the fielders will hit the ball up to each other
and they'll still
catch it. They'll do behind the backs, through the legs, and they keep track of that on the scoreboard. I wasn't sure how exactly the trick plays affected the actual score, but you can see it up there, who's got the most trick plays and whatnot. So, yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome.
There's a very strange Chippendales-type vibe, though, going on.
Well, guys are taking off their clothes?
Yeah. And doing that, they're doing some herky jerky gyrating dancing back there.
Was that weird?
It's kind of confusing on a place to try
with your daughter.
Kids.
You're with your daughter, so is that?
Yeah. Now, the teenage girls that we took, they were loving it.
Yeah, of
the
course.
Moms that are there, they're loving it. But, yeah.
Interesting.
I want to shield my 11-year-old's eyes sometimes.
That's right.
The three strikes question. The person you root hardest against in sports. The person you root hardest against. Color me.
In sports. You can't say your ex-wife. In sports.
Nope. Can't be the ex, right? The injury you never want to have again. The injury you suffered, you never want to have again. And a restaurant or store that closed that you're totally fine with. So we never root for the demise of an organization, but we did grow up with some brands that maybe were like, it was time. They closed, and I'm okay with it. A restaurant or store that closed that you were totally fine with, the injury you never want to have to live through again, and the person you root hardest against in sports. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Another thing we should mention as you're driving around Atlanta, who was at the United game? 7 goals, a 4-3 win. They scored 3 straight. They were down 3-1 in the 51st minute. And who is it had the whole go-ahead goal?
Latte Lott
had the 84th minute. That's what it's all about. 4 goals at home on a Saturday night.
Yeah, it looked awesome. Atmosphere looked electric as well. So congrats to United for getting back into the win column.
Yeah, Spencer Strider also had a rehab start. He allowed 2 hits and 1 run, struck out 6. The other night at Gwinnett, we always talk about minor league in town. You get Rome, you get Gwinnett. There's baseball everywhere. And we'll mention again, University of Georgia could be the number one college baseball team in America when the polls come out because they beat Auburn. They beat them like a drum, 3 in a row over the weekend. They were ranked 11th coming in, and they didn't win a game. So Georgia, ranked 3rd, could be up to number 1. I got to see what number 1 and 2.
It says D1Baseball.com rankings right now, Tennessee 1, Arkansas 2, Georgia 3.
So they must have swept their weekend or done very well as well. And I thought, you know, with the 4 number 1s, you know, what can you say? Brilliant job by the committee to put those guys, but they're so much superior to everybody else. And Tennessee went about as far as they should go. Kudos to the Volunteers. But
yeah, and they went cold as well yesterday. Just a bad offensive day.
Yeah, Bama, their style of play, if they're
run
not
and gun.
Yeah, if they're not hitting threes, and they you know, Duke just understood how to handle them. And probably the best thing for Duke is watching them hit 25 threes and say,
no question.
Like, that's all that matters. Obsessed with getting out on the three. Like, literally obsessed because, you know, you could get run out of the building, which is what Alabama did the night before. 404-726-0929. The person that you root hardest against in sports, hey, Bill Belichick, the injury you never want to live through again, or a restaurant or store that closed over the years that you were okay with. We'll take your phone calls. We'll continue to move things along on a very, very busy week leading into Final Four and Masters. Everything happening next
week. Yeah, so NFL owners meetings are going on in Palm Beach right now. An annual meeting. The coaches are down there. The owners are down there. And of note, today there is a panel that will be talking to the owners' stake, of which Serena Williams, Caitlin Clark, and Melody Hobson, part owner of the Denver Broncos, will be talking to league personnel and ownership. Eli Manning will be on the panel as well. They will be discussing the growth of women's sports and women's flag football, notably. So some interesting topics there. Obviously, there'll be some media availability. Expect Raheem Morris and Arthur Blank to be asked about Kirk Cousins being seen in Cleveland over the last week. Raheem Morris did not make the annual coaches picture as well, citing some bad weather that made him show up late down in Palm Beach. But I would just love to be a fly on the wall at 10:30 p.m. inside that bar at the Breakers to see what's going on, who's sitting
with who.
Well,
they've gotten a lot older. But
what are the conversations?
When the NFL was on strike, their meetings were in Atlanta with the owners in the middle of the strike. I don't know how the hell we pulled this off at 790 The Zone. We broadcast live from the lobby of the meetings and saw them all rolling through there. And in particular, who is the old Carolina owner that got moved aside?
Jerry Richardson.
Yeah, to say he had a goblet of vodka that he was...
A goblet?
Dude, it was it was like when you go to
like a Nalgene bottle
when
of vodka.
You go to Quick Trip and you get the
big gulp, 64 ounce.
Dude, he was so Jerry Jones was feeling no pain. I mean, we saw the whole thing right in front of us, dude.
Speaking of 790 the zone, congrats to Peter Schrager. Today was his last day on Good Morning Football. Rumors are that he is soon to be announced as an ESPN employee.
He's going
to
get paid a lot of money.
And ESPN's about to buy NFL Media as well.
ESPN is going to buy NFL Network?
Yes.
So they're going to...
$2 billion acquisition. That's why they're moving all the SportsCenter personnel out of L.A. back to Bristol. You know, I've been to the big NFL media headquarters right there next to SoFi Stadium. It is a massive building, multi-million dollar building. Production studios,
everything.
So why'd
they move NFL out to L.A. and now they're moving everybody back to Bristol?
Well, I don't have the answer to the NFL being...
in L.A.
Right. NFL media is in L.A. The rumors are is that ESPN is close to a $2 billion acquisition to purchase NFL Network, NFL Media.
And Peter Schrager, intern at Mayhem in the AM when he was at Emory, a little stat, and about to get paid. All right, let's do three strikes.